I'd like to call the meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied. An adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call?
Weaver?
Here.
Torres?
Here.
McDonald?
Here.
Conrad?
Here.
Higgins?
Here.
Thompson?
Yes, ma'am.
First off, we have our minutes of the regular meeting of August 20th.
Make motion to receive and file the minutes.
Second. Okay, any discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, that brings us to a council appearance from Washington Community Solar.
Evening.
I wonder if you would give your name and address for the record, please.
Sure. Eric Altman. I'm a member and I guess also counsel for Washington Community Solar. I have Eric Abahouse here, who I guess you might want to spell your last name.
Eric Abahouse, A-B-E-F-H-A-U-F,
and
representing Metro Tech Electrical.
Okay. And from Columbia, New Jersey, and from...
And from Tewksbury, New Jersey, and construction out of Tewksbury, New Jersey as well.
So anyway, we're here tonight to, if you'll recall, we have a power purchase agreement awarded to Washington Community Solar. I'm a member in council of Washington Community Solar. We've had an extension of time to obtain the various approvals, the contingency period of which either the borough or the awarded contract to Washington Community could be canceled by either party. We, at this point, are asking for an extension of the deadline, which is expiring, but we extended it as of October 1st for a period of 7 months in order to pursue the project further with our new partner and our existing engineering, procurement, and design firm, which is Metro Tech, and it's always been Metro Tech. If you'll recall, the project is approximately 750-kilowatt solar array that is received preliminary and final site plan approval by Washington Township because the project sits right on the border between the borough sewage treatment facility and municipal garage and the property which Washington Community Solar owns. We received that approval over a year and a half ago and then were awarded in an open bid the contract for the power purchase. The power purchase would supply all the electric needs for the sewage treatment plant and the municipal garage by the solar array, which is estimated to be, like I said, approximately 750 kilowatts. The approximate savings on the electricity, because we were at an assigned initial rate of 9 cents over the 15-year period of the award of the contract, is estimated to be in excess of $2 million for the borough. At this point, the project is close to my heart, near to my heart, and pretty much shovel-ready, other than the fact that it is lacking the approved financing. We've had tremendous interest in order to construct it, but it's a relatively small project for a one-off company like Washington Community. So in putting our heads together with our awarded contractor, Metro Tech, who has vast experience, and I can let Eric speak about their background, but they're already producing 2 to 3 other projects in addition to this one, and so the idea was to bring them in as one of our partners in the project since they were already going to construct it and they've already designed it and been involved in the approval process and were also going to construct it when it was ready to be built, to throw that into their other two projects which they have, which are approved in various places, which Eric can give you some background on. So tonight we're here really to introduce you to our EPC contractor and to formally request a 7-month extension on the contingency period and then build out. That would bring us out to 7 months from October 1st for the approval to be in place. Almost all the approvals are in place other than building permits, and final development agreement to be finalized with the town, I'm sorry, with the township, and then also finalizing our financing with Eric's financing consultants. At that point, there's still another, I think, 3 to 4 months to construct, and then the project would be projected to come online towards the end of the summer, which is ideal in the solar industry because the fiscal year for solar begins on June 1st. And so just briefly what that means is you wouldn't want a project to come online right at the end of the old fiscal year because you would lose one of the energy years if you wanted to maximize out the full 15 years of the project. So without any further, I guess, delay, I can introduce Eric.
Well, thank you very much. I can give you a little background on MetroTech Electrical, if you'd like. We've been in business for 37 years now. We're most of our work, about 80-85%, depending on the year, is high voltage utility work, working on primary power feeds, whether it be overhead conducting or underground. Work specifically on high voltage interconnection. Some of our premier projects are after Hurricane Sandy, working on the Statue of Liberty, and working on Ellis Island after those floods. Our introduction to most solar installations is on the primary portion, so that would be from the inverter to the pole itself. We work all up and down the East Coast, and I think you may have this in front of you and know a little bit. So learn a little bit about MetroTech. When it comes to what we're really here talking about today is the stumbling block or the hurdle right now on almost every solar project. We could build every solar project tomorrow. It winds up being financing. And as Eric indicated, the size of the project, even though it's terrific from a construction standpoint, it's terrific for the off-taker, you know, the group who's using the power, the sewage treatment plant, financing, not so much. Mostly financing is counterintuitive. Most people think that, we need to borrow $1 million or $2 million. Because of the work involved in getting financing, you really need to pool together a couple of these smaller projects to get to about a $10 million range, which is where we are with Washington Community Solar and one of the other four other that were currently currently available for construction. And that's where we are right now, and that's why we need the extension. Thank you.
Anybody have any questions? Torres?
I'm just not 100% clear. Obviously, the financing was your cause for your delay, right?
Correct.
And now it seems that you're relying on 30% for a federal grant.
We qualify, right. There was a federal grant that was available, which we qualified the project for, which granted 30% of the total qualifying project cost, which in this case would be close to $600,000-$700,000 of grant money. The project remains filed and the Treasury Department has our preliminary approval on that. So that would be money that would be given by the federal government once the project, was ready to be built.
Okay, so what is the timeline expected based on getting that grant, so?
Oh, the grant is available. We've qualified for the grant.
But that, when would you?
Okay, and you get the money for the grant.
After construction, upon completion.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like a guaranteed by the federal government.
Correct. And not necessarily, even though it is locked in and we will receive it, the financials still support it without the grant.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay. And so the rest of the financing, you came out.
Like formal bank financing.
Yeah.
It's project finance money, probably similar to any capital project that you have, except where they specialize in solar because of the uniqueness of solar and wind energy.
Okay. So then that was the main reason for the delay before, but now you don't foresee any other delays.
Correct. I mean, there were two reasons. One was the market. When we first were approved by you, the market was, I would say, frothy. I mean, this was almost a no-brainer to get done. And everybody in New Jersey at that point became the number one installed solar rate in the country. It was outpacing New Mexico and Arizona and California, and Colorado, because of how aggressive the law was. Anyway, everybody and their mother, literally all developers, non-solar people, built and overbuilt, and it was a victim technically of its own success. And by the sheer amount of solar that was built within those years, it's almost like stock market. The oversupply of the amount of solar electric brought down these carbon credits, which is what makes the project viable. The state issue, the quasi-state entity issues you a carbon credit for every 1,000 kilowatts of solar that you produce. And that's right. They were trading it when we got the project approved. Those carbon credits, which would be about 860 of them, were being traded at $670 a piece. They went all the way down to 80 within the last year, and now they've come back. The Christie administration saw it. They didn't want to let the entire industry go off the cliff, which is sort of what was starting to happen. And they just upped the requirements, which ended up putting a floor underneath the solar industry. And now they're trading at approximately 135 to 140. And the rate of solar installation has come down tremendously, partly because the expiration of that 30%, and then also because of the fact that the carbon credits were at $100 when they were around 670. So that's the long-winded answer to your question.
Okay. So there should be no other delays.
There should be no other delays, other than you have to get the final financing in place for this and grouping two other or three other projects together. But that's correct. And in order to do that, we said, look, we've come up against a wall. What can we do in order to do that? And we basically took our design engineer and procurement, who's got more experience than most in the industry, is an industry leader in electric to begin with, and project finance. Electrical projects, and said, okay, we'll bring you in as a partner and put us in as part of your deal. So the answer is yes. I want to guarantee it. I can't guarantee it. I'm just being honest with you. Do I think it's going to happen? Yes, I do. And it's a project I put a lot of time, energy, and our own money. I mean, we have no debt. We've bought the land. We've put a lot of money into soft costs, just probably as much as we have into the land. And, we'd very much like to make the project happen.
Okay. Anyone else?
Your current extension expires.
The contingency extension expired as of September 30th. That meant that we could cancel the project without any penalty. The time to build it was as of, I believe, the end of the year to have it built. So we're asking for both to be extended by 7 months.
Would anyone like to make a motion to extend the project?
I'll make a motion to extend the project.
I'll second it.
7 months.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mayor, would you like, I know previously when there were extensions, we put it in the form of an amendment to the agreement. Would council like to authorize us to do so?
Yes. I'll make that motion.
I second it.
Thank you. Any other discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. Correspondence. That's it. Correspondence.
Make a motion to receive and file correspondence.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on either of the correspondence?
Are we going to pass or make a motion?
Did you get a vote to
the
first?
Not yet.
Yes,
yeah.
We did.
But we got the motion in the second.
We got the motion.
We had the vote.
Oh, just okay.
And then he can fill in.
Okay.
All right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay.
Okay. I've got the money left over from my donation. Can I put it towards next year's tree, lady?
You mean this year, this December, or next
2013
or
2014?
2014 and
13. Yeah,
it would be best to have him make a donation into a particular fund for that of his salary, Christine, do you think, or?
I was going to donate my salary.
He's already not accepting a salary, so any savings would just be used to pay for the tree lighting. and Natasha and I would just move the money around in November, like we usually do.
Okay.
So it's fine. His motion is fine.
Okay. Was there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? Let's do a roll call since it does involve money.
Are you going to use this particular proposal? Is that, or does it have to be another motion for that proposal?
Do we need three or just two or one?
I don't know.
Well, it's under the quote threshold, so you need one.
Okay.
I was thinking the less expensive route, which is the $750.
Mm-hmm. I do have a question before we do that. This is going to come out of the mayor and council line item?
Yes, it will initially,
it'll
be moved to administrative, or we do have that line item, what is it, community events, celebrations, that's probably where we'll put it.
Yes, that's where it used to be.
Yes.
Right. Was there more than just the one estimate?
It's the one estimate. It's the one company that's familiar with the tree that they've done the work before.
Let's do the roll call, please.
Thompson?
Yes.
Gleyba?
Yes. Thank you, Councilman Thompson, for making that donation.
Torres?
Yes, and second on that.
McDonald?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
And I think we'll all express our thanks to you for that. I'm sure I can speak for all of us.
Mm-hmm. All right, should that Washington Township Construction request for potential shared services be sent to the Shared Services Committee?
If you would like to make said motion.
I make that motion.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that one?
Well, when you get there, will you get, like, the latest comparison between the township versus the state?
Sure.
Like, when Rich was here, we had that one, like, spreadsheet. And the pros versus the cons, like, and would the borough get a cut of fees?
Yeah.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, at this point I'd like to open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimonies from guests.
That's a perfect segue. I was going to ask if we could do the borough tree lighting in conjunction with the Hometown Holiday on November 30th, Saturday, November 30th. It's going to be from 4 to 8, and it would be really nice. We already are one of the only towns that, in addition to having a tree lighting, has menorah lighting, and I think it would be fabulous that we could boast that we're actually having two tree lightings, and we could light the tree at Borough Hall at, say, like 4:15. You know, so it gets dark, I believe, at 4:10 is what we looked up. So we could have the mayor and council do the honorary lighting of the tree at 4:10, and then a little procession of people through the parking lot down to light the Christmas tree as well. And I think it would be a really wonderful part of the evening's activities if you are all in agreement.
I thought it was Friday, December 6th.
You didn't read your meeting notes.
I haven't received any.
Okay, I sent them out today.
I was on tonight. I didn't get anything.
Okay, I'm sorry. Right, I'll double check.
It's Saturday, November 30th?
Yes, we're moving the, so that's part two. We are going to be moving the Hometown Holiday from Friday, December 7th, up to Saturday, November 30th, which is for many different reasons. Number one is that everyone, the community, and everyone can really enjoy it. What usually happens with the Hometown Holiday, people are rushing home from work, the kids at Washington Kid Care parents are barely picking them up, running them out to get to the Christmas tree. This way, it can be enjoyed for several hours. The hours can be, if it's on a Saturday, it'd be from 4 to 8 p.m. You know, we tried to extend it in the past, having it from 6 to 10 or shop till midnight, but who's your core customer is from 3 years old to 9 years old. Those kids go to bed at 8 or 8:30. So this will allow everyone to enjoy it. It also is simultaneous with Small Business Saturday, which is wonderful for all the businesses and the shopping. And if you think about it, if everybody's been hanging around eating turkey, being lazy, watching football and everything on Thursday and Friday and spent all of their money, then by Saturday night from 4 to 8, they should be ready for a good evening of fun and enjoyment at no cost. So that's what we're looking to do.
It is Thanksgiving weekend, though, so a lot of people go away for the holiday.
You know, and I was thinking it might be more beneficial to have the other tree lighting, the borough tree lighting, on a different day, maybe on a Sunday.
That would
be further down.
Well, the thought was, in years past, we've considered having a Christmas-like parade.
Yeah.
And it involves the police, the state, because you'd be going on Route 57 and, you know, Broad Street and Belvedere Avenue, so we've never been able to have a parade. So the thinking was you'd have a little procession crossing Church Street right through the municipal parking lot down into the new pocket park where the business street would be. So it's kind of like, you know, they're hoping maybe to get, like, the band and, you know, a little parade.
Yeah, I see. Oh.
That was... Well, we are definitely going to move the bid event to November 30th, but obviously if you guys need some time to discuss and consider whether you're able to do your tree lighting at the same time, we certainly understand, but, you know, we are definitely moving our event to November 30th.
A lot of the citizens, you know, used to come down with their ornaments and hang their own ornaments, you know, on the borough tree, too, so hopefully, you know, I don't know if that all can be done in one day, you know, because it's kind of hectic or whatever. I was thinking that maybe on a Sunday would be good, but...
All the businesses are closed on Sunday for the most part, so we're all really trying to have it on Saturday.
Well, I understand the bit. I understand the bit.
Saturday,
lighting,
but
I was saying
again, you guys are welcome
borough,
to
the
do it
lighting.
As you see.
Right.
Mr.
Okay.
Thompson, you have something?
Yes. How soon do we have to let this company know about doing it?
I would say as soon as possible. Tomorrow.
Okay.
Because I don't know how booked he is.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's a heavy schedule.
Exactly.
Sam Sokoma, even.
I'm sorry?
Since Van Sokoma?
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets very, very booked, and everybody's going to be pressuring him to have everything up for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing.
If we'd like to do that,
I will.
I'd accept a motion to go forward with having it on the same day as the bid.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Yeah.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
No.
Any abstentions?
And then also just for other events, just a reminder, and hope it's okay, we have always had our business trick-or-treat in conjunction with the resident trick-or-treat. We have it before. What happens is the kids have their parade and their parties at school. They get out of school, and it's like a battle for all the moms not to get the costumes in disarray, and they're like fighting to eat dinner before you go back out. So it has always worked out very, very wonderfully. The kids get out of school, they come downtown for the business trick-or-treat from 3 to 5, and then they can enjoy trick-or-treating with the residents. So it's always been a very nice event. We also, in addition to the costume contest that we have every year, this year we're also going to have a pet costume contest. This is kind of inspired by some little furry friends that showed up last year. And we're going to have the DJ, and thank you very much to Washington Borough Community sponsors the New Jersey Night Critter and Litter Craft in front of Subway, and you are noted and thanked on our flyer as well. So this flyer will go out to all the school children, and we thank you for that. So we hope you can join us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Melissa Holmes, Washington Borough Recreation. Go for it. Recently, Council voted to have Washington Borough Recreation pay for the bill generated by the Park Grandstand electric meter. We were immediately billed for $345 for the period from 7/19 to 8/19/2013, and I'm here to ask Council to reconsider your decision. Information was first given to Council that in the past, Recreation had been responsible for the ball field lights. This information is completely untrue. At no point in history of the department or any other single department has it been responsible for the payment of any utility bill. The information was clearly given without research into the facts, which is something that residents don't expect from an elected official. From there, the decision to bill Recreation $345 came from a phone call made to JCP&L in which they stated the meter consisted of the ball field lights almost 15 years ago. On Monday, the 23rd of September this year, I called JCP&L and was given information that very much supersedes what the circumstances were 15 years ago. When that information was originally given, the ball field simply had JCP&L installed light posts. Since then, outside contractors have come in and installed new lights to the interior of the grandstand, security and sensor lighting to the exterior of the grandstand, dugouts, and walkway, all new ball field lights, as well as more JCP&L installed light posts along Upper Park Drive. All of these lights now filter into that same meter. The $345 includes power use for all of that above lighting during the 7/19 to 8/19 time period. On October 4th, 2011, the borough manager at the time reached out to First Energy Corp, parent company of JCP&L, and discovered that each ball field light costs approximately 60 cents per light for 2 hours of use. With 34 lights total, the cost comes out to around $20.40 for 2 hours, or $10.20 per hour of ball field light use. From there, the commission, borough manager, and rec director at the time decided to charge $17 per hour for light use to non-borough sports only. The price more than covers the actual cost. Borough-run sports do not pay an additional fee to use the lights, as the amount would put each sport in the red and cause them to be shut down per borough ordinance. For example, when adding up the amount soccer generated last year, subtracting the amount spent on equipment, league fees, uniforms, and all of that, and then subtracting the $17 an hour for each hour they use the lights, the sport would immediately, by definition of the ordinance, have needed to be shut down. To point out just a couple of things, and I don't want it to sound like I'm picking on any other department, but just as an example, the fire department has full run of their facility, including the fire hall, in which they rent out the banquet hall to non-firefighters and for an income to their department. Every time there is an event, there's electricity used, there's the kitchens used, there's water used, and at no point are they required to pay any energy bill while they're making an income. They don't have to donate any money back to the borough, but in theory are doing the exact same thing that recreation is doing with the lights. But on a completely different level, recreation is run solely by recreation and is covered by memberships and registration fees. Fees that we have worked really hard not to raise over the past years and at present are already comparable, if not higher, with surrounding towns. If one department is made to start paying electric, when and who will be the next that is going to be required to? So I would request that council removes this decision and returns the $345 to REC.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What was that voted on?
I didn't even know until the purchase order was put on my desk and I was told to sign it. I mean, no one even spoke to recreation.
Okay. I would like to make a few comments. Okay. I wasn't here at the last meeting, so I did hear about this through the grapevine that we'd be here tonight. This is my take on it. I think it's unfair to the rec commission at this point in time that we surprised them with a bill. So my suggestion would be this, that we continue the way we have in the past to the end of the year. I spoke to the manager. Now, I think that the council needs to get together and decide whether or not this is something we're going to do and if we are going to help them fund that in some way or another. It all goes into their budget. And they're going to have the rough budget proposed to you November 1st?
First or second meeting in November.
Okay.
The chairperson and I spoke, and you were part of that conversation,
right,
that we will be making a proposal to council to consider on different methods to fund recreation.
Okay. Well, at this point, then, I think it's just the blind side. Do you know how much money you have in your trust fund?
Not at this exact moment. I don't.
Okay. We can find that out, though, right? Okay.
Did you get a report for this month?
No.
Yeah, well, can I make some comments? Because I'm the one that initiated this.
Okay, sure.
First of all of a sudden, we started seeing ball field lights on the voucher list. We'd never seen it broken out before like that.
Okay.
So for us, it was a surprise like that as well. If you look at the ordinance and the way it's written, at no point, since I've been on council, since you became the commission, I thought you were getting fees for both borough and non-borough. Because on the ordinance, it only says the field is broken out,
gotcha,
and that's a bonus. So
right,
all along, I've assumed recreation has been getting fees for the lights from both borough and non-borough. And that is what sparked the question. If you're charging fees, then you should be paying for the lights.
Right.
And so that's where it was coming from. And we get the voucher list,
right,
that weekend. There's not like we have a lot of time in between to get all these answers.
Right.
We have the discussion at the council meeting.
Right.
And so that's where it came from. At no point did I ever say I felt the Recreation Commission should be paying for utilities. I don't believe that's the case. Mm-hmm. So if you're making that motion, I second that motion. My other contention was, though, if you're charging the outside fees, I felt, because Christine provided us, have you gotten this, how much we do pay?
Yeah.
We do pay a lot more in electricity
right.
than we do for any other department.
Right.
You can't compare the lighting use there compared
to the
lighting.
You have to also understand that at the park, there's sensor lights and whatnot that run all 24
right.
hours a day.
And I'm
so
not talking
not like
about
here.
Security. I am talking about the ball field
but
lights,
that's
the pool,
what I mean.
The bathhouse.
That line
lights
item.
That go into
right.
that. And that's my thought was, if you are going to collect some fees, help offset the burden to the taxpayers by giving us the few hundred dollars that you get from
which
the non-borough.
I completely understand that.
And that's where I was coming
right.
from.
But I just need to make a point that during that time period from 719 to 819, we brought in $48, but then we were billed for $68.
Well, I had a question about the control of the lights. And now, it hasn't been recently.
Well, we have a motion on the floor. So
no, I didn't make the motion.
Oh, you didn't make
the
motion.
I
thought
you
were
making the motion. Yet, so, excuse me.
But what I was saying was, I totally lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
A question on who controls the lights.
Controlling
the
lights.
Oh, yeah. In the past, it's early in the morning, sometimes the lights were left on. Now, these may not have been the ballpark lights, the field lights, but they might have been either the pool lights or the, you know, basketball court or pavilion lights, whatever you want to call them, the other section. I don't know if those are the automatic. The other thing, you know, that had, you know, and so maybe, I mean, I'm looking over this. I mean, it looks like our manager went to high lengths to come up with this chart as to, you know, all the payments. And it looks like there's just some anomalies in terms of, so I don't know if the lights are being sometimes just left on and forgotten about or whatever, but it seems that, okay, if somebody's going to have control of the switch of the lights, then they should be responsible for the payment. That's my only comment about
anomalies in what respect? I'm just curious. Like anomalies with the chart you were given versus what?
Yeah, I mean, certain months it's out of proportion with the other months. That's all I'm saying.
Some months are higher than the others.
You're way higher.
The bill is higher?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to look at that bill, which I don't have in front of me, but I looked at it, and there are several months that are identical. And those, from experience with the power company, that is months that they didn't actually come out and check the meter. There's an average dollar
amount.
Yeah,
I understand.
So then, of course, after 3 months that they haven't checked it, the next bill is going to be higher. Cause
sure.
And then there's also, you know, there's months in the winter where nobody really goes to the parks. The sensor lights aren't going to come on as much. And
right.
And
okay.
Whatnot.
Well, the bathhouse. Here's one. But it's there's a note. It's a 419-12 bathhouse. It says there were sanding floors. So that one was higher. It was 286. So I understand that. So it was very clear on this one what the reason is, because, you know, if you average the other ones, it seems around $100 or 100 and some odd dollars. And then there's a couple, though, that are way higher. That's the only thing. And so, again, it's just like what Janine had said. We were just surprised by getting this bill that we didn't have before on our voucher list for quite
I'm
a while.
I'm not sure. I mean, how was the bill never...
Well,
how was the bill paid
on
the
voucher list? But I think the surprise came when we switched to GFMS from Edmonds.
So suddenly it said ball field lights.
We put much more description on the bill list, the voucher list, than we have in the past.
I mean, you have to understand that technically that description is completely inaccurate, because it doesn't by far just have the ball field lights.
Well, you agree with me
that
whoever controls turning the lights on and off should be responsible for paying for it.
I don't at all, because if that's the case, I mean, if you guys would like the responsibility to every time there's a sport that needs the lights, that you type it into the computer and decide when they're turned on and turned
thing to do. However, you know,
so if the fire department is renting out the hall and they're turning on and off the lights, are they
responsible? Don't get me wrong. My concern is that nobody's checking it to make sure at night that all the lights are off. So I just want to be assured that somebody's doing that so that we can pay the bill.
What he's saying is sometimes he goes by and the lights are on at 11 o'clock at night and there's no way around.
I can assure
like
you
basketball court.
That
right.
The basketball court lights have not been put on. There was only put on one time this year. at all, and it was a time, it was a Friday night that we kept the pool open past dark, I think till 10 o'clock, and that particular night was the only night those basketball lights were turned on. The street lights, JCP&L has set to turn on and then turn off depending on the light outside, and there's mornings where if it's cloudy, they're going to stay on longer, but
that's
it
different.
Certainly isn't anything
that's
that REC, the only lighting that REC has any power to turn on or off is the ball field lights, mm-hmm. and I can assure you that never have they been kept on past the game, because I personally go and check after games.
Well, then
practice.
Somehow they were left on at least one time in the past year for sure.
Okay. And these, like, just for example, that just in that month, 7/19 to 8/19, the total bill for electricity for the recreation area was almost $2,000. $345 was just the ball field light portion of it. So, and that's so I agree. Maybe October the bill might be cheaper because
right.
it's less. But every other month. It's a big bill.
Right. But
so
you have to understand that it's not, I mean, this is borough property. This is a
right,
public
right.
park
so
where
but
residents
you understand
come
where
and
come from, all of a sudden we started seeing just the ball field lights.
Right.
And
but
we thought, given the ordinance, you were charging fees.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it was
and we're
yeah.
hoping that maybe there could be some sort of just better control to make sure the lights are out at night.
Well,
so
I mean, if you look,
no
this report,
big electric bill.
Which I believe you were given a version of the report from Musco Lighting. And it
mm-hmm.
clearly, I mean, Musco very clearly keeps track of what time the lights were turned on and what time the lights were turned off.
You actually had cost savings because you turned them off sooner than what you
exactly.
were scheduled for.
And there is no time when these lights were kept on past 10:20, I think is the latest they were kept on, and that's because there was an event going on. So I don't know which lights that you saw, and I don't doubt that you saw lights on, but I can promise
lights.
You it wasn't the full ball field lights, because you can see on the report that they weren't kept
so
on.
So I'll make a motion we remove the bill from Recreation Commission, and when it comes budget time, we discuss whether we receive any fees from the non-borough folks for the lighting.
I would second that motion, also with returning what they were charged. The $345.
Right, I thought that's what it was.
Yeah,
but
that's.
Yeah.
And also, when are you going to have that discussion?
Well, we were preparing it for either the first or second meeting in November. We're in discussion mode right now.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay, any other discussion on the motion? This deals with money, so let's do a roll call.
Glava?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else from the audience? Hearing none, I'd accept a motion to close the audience. Welcome, sorry.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Council. My name is Kathy Bryant, and I'm on here on behalf of Mount Piscataway Church. I am here for an update. I know our church has complained about the paving of the road on North Macon Avenue. It's been years. And when I look around in this borough, the optics aren't very good. I see roads that are being paved, and every year when we come down, it's always, oh, it's not in the budget, it's not in the budget. How many years are we not going to be in the budget?
That's fine. I can address that.
Thank you.
We just actually applied for a grant to do that.
Yes.
You know that?
This year?
Yes, yes.
That's a good thing.
Yes, we did.
Because we've been waiting for 8 years, 2007, 2006, so I'm glad that we are getting it.
Well,
so
we
now
applied
my
for
next
yeah,
we applied
question.
For
it.
We don't
know.
It
oh,
hasn't come through yet.
We applied.
We applied.
So how are the other roads, how have the other roads been paid? How do they get to the top of the list? Can you answer that question?
Sure, I can.
Okay.
Our road department supervisor, along with the streets committee, go along and they check the roads and they make
do they come up on North Lincoln Avenue?
Yeah, that I don't know.
I've been up there.
You've been up there,
yes.
So do you make the decision?
No.
We
do
make
you,
it together.
Do you get feedback?
We give back to the committee.
And what feedback did you give back on North Lincoln Avenue? May I ask that
I
question?
Just got on the committee in the middle of the discussion.
That's right. We understand that there's a problem.
Yes, there is.
North Lincoln Avenue.
Yes.
All right. Based on the funds that we had available, we went to Carlton Avenue. Now,
the street below North Lincoln Avenue. Let me mind you, an audience, the optics do not look good.
I understand exactly what you're saying.
I don't know if you do or not.
I do, trust me.
Okay.
That is why when the grant was presented to us, hey, there's a grant, what road are we going to do?
North Lincoln Avenue. You said the rest of North Lincoln Avenue. We're going to go up.
Why did it stop below Carlton Avenue?
Because of the cost. We budgeted a certain amount of money. Yeah,
okay.
Listen, it was the cost.
Okay.
I mean, I could sit here and tell you everything, and I understand where you're coming from. Trust me, I do, more than you realize. I understand where you're coming from.
Okay.
That is why that when the grant was presented, there's a grant available to finish. That's the road that was picked, right there.
So you applied for the grant. So
maybe this,
so the background history is that you've applied for the grant.
Right.
Now we need to wait for the grant to be approved.
When the grant is approved, exactly. And when the grant is approved is when that will be done.
And
that grant money can only be used for that specific road.
And that's a good thing.
It is.
That's a very good thing.
That's a very good thing. You understand?
I understand that.
We know when the grants are normally approved.
What's the expectation of that?
Can we find out?
Late winter, early spring, I would say. They're approved.
So
it won't be
March.
Done now. I can tell you that. The weather is. I
gathered that much.
Winter, yeah. Right. So we're looking at
that
next
we're missing.
February, March kind
all
of
right.
time frame.
I would say February, March. Yeah.
Okay. So let me just say this: do I need to be here every month?
No.
To ask for an update as to when this grant's going to be approved.
You'll be welcome to come anytime.
Absolutely. Because, you know, truly, you know, you all may laugh about it, but the optics do not look good. You can't tell me that you can see from North Lincoln Avenue south of Carlton and then North Lincoln Avenue north of that never gets paid. I've been here in 2007 complaining of the same problem.
Right.
Later.
And
earlier.
2001.
Well, it was in that, I just read, 2004 they came for the council.
So this really, we need to really work on it. And if there's a problem, then maybe we need to have a special meeting to deal with if there really truly is an internal problem going on.
If I may suggest,
yes.
Since the grant comes from the state of New Jersey, if your church would like to write to our local legislators and push them for their assistance in making the grant happen, you know, screech wheel gets the grease kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, that might be a path for you also. And, you know, wouldn't hurt to write to the governor, too.
To help us get through it.
Yeah. Right. You know, and we will certainly be in contact with our legislators.
What all did you do to get the grants before when you paved the other roads? What did you have to do?
You mean this year's work?
Yes, this year's work.
This year's work, we used money in the surplus that we had. And the streets committee.
Okay.
And the DPW.
And we didn't do any curbing or sidewalks. It was strictly
milling and paving.
No, yeah, I saw. We're
just
a couple hundred feet away. I saw.
It's not unusual for us to also contact the state legislators asking for their support.
I saw that, but you know, it boggles me that you have certain folks on the committee who you go out and look at the streets that need to be paved. I saw the street on Upper Belvedere Avenue got paved. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who makes that decision? You run the committee?
Council.
Yes, that's what I thought. All right, there's my complaint.
I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of streets in our town that need to be. I would have loved my street to be paved.
You know,
there's been other streets.
They haven't
waiting a long time.
I'm
saying
this has been going on for a decade.
Right,
yeah.
But for
it
a
has.
Few years now, our superintendent has had a list of the most needed, and nothing to do with council members.
And
same list that when our old manager was here.
Well,
we didn't have the money the past few years to do anything.
Any of our three previous managers had the same.
Previous managers, I've heard the same thing. Matter of fact, I heard them say, we didn't even know Mount Pisgah existed on North Lincoln Avenue. Those optics do not set well.
Well, this council knows. We know.
And yeah, and we're going to make it known that you all
know.
Because we will be here every council meeting to protest. Because it's just not correct. So I will be here. I will be asking for updates, and I think the best that you can do is give me an update, whether you have a projected date or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was under the impression that it had been voted on. The grant was approved. That is not true.
No, we approved for the manager and engineer to fill out the application.
Okay.
And so they've just recently submitted that. That was the approval that happened at the meeting.
All right. Because I would hate to come back in the spring. and I hear a whole new story again.
Just, I don't know if you
hear
whatever.
Well, this is the story that you could hear, though. We haven't done budget time, so we don't know if we'll be getting the grant. We don't know if we're going to have extra funds this year to do any street.
But if I need to escalate, I will escalate.
There was another street in consideration as well, so North Prospect was considered over that other street, just to have you know.
Well, I'm concerned about North Lincoln Avenue. That's where my church is at.
Right.
And this is what I've been fighting for years. And it just seems like it gets pushed back. We are taxpaying members here. So I just don't want the optics to get confused. When people look at this situation and really look at it, the optics can be very confusing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Question. If I wanted to talk about something that's in the rest of the agenda, do I talk about it now or when you get to it in the agenda?
What is it that you're looking to talk about?
The fire order.
I don't think there's going to be any discussion on that this evening.
What? I thought there was some discussion and then it'll come back to the committee. No?
we'll see where it is at that point.
So you should talk about it now then.
I would say you wait until the discussion. If we do have a discussion about it, we'll work it at that point.
Okay.
Anyone else from the audience?
I'd make a motion to close the audience portion.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, that brings us to the fire ordinance. Ordinance 6, 2013. There still is some discussion that needs to be had. It's been suggested that we send this back to committee, bring in some representatives from the fire department, the fire prevention official, and the manager, and let them deal with it.
Who made that suggestion? It's gone back and forth. I mean, no offense to anyone, but I've been on this COBA committee for now almost 3 years,
and
we've had Rick at the meeting three times.
Mrs. Gleba, Mr. Thompson, you have something you wanted to say?
Yes, I'd like to stay from being life member of the fire company.
Okay.
I just think the whole point was inviting Rick here to defend the three things that he wants in or doesn't want in,
right,
and now we can move ahead with it. He wrote the whole ordinance.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't the COBA committee.
There have been some issues that have been brought to my attention as of yesterday, and it's my suggestion that it goes back to committee with members of the fire department and Rick Monis to be brought back into it.
But my point is, as a member of this little dinky committee, I have no expertise with regards to this. I don't have expertise on most of these ordinances, but it's like we've met with Rick. I mean, whatever they're going to tell
me. Plus, we started this over a year ago.
At this point, it becomes
a
council
time.
Decision.
Right.
The things that we have questions on, it's a council vote. It's not my personal
exactly.
vote.
But I think there are some issues that have been brought to my attention by the fire department that are relevant and are worth sitting down and discussing with the fire department and Rick and the committee, or a representative from the committee and Judy. So that is my
And then what? Bring it in front of the council again for a vote? It's like,
I noticed that the chief is here. Maybe we can just have the discussion now because it's in public meeting, and this way we can hear all the sides.
For the meeting, he is amenable to going back into committee for that.
Mr. Mayor, sir. I will make a motion to have Ordinance 6, 2013 sent back to the committee with representatives of the fire department, the fire official, and the borough manager.
And have the situation resolved for the next meeting.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Any other discussion on that?
And all I'm going to say is they're going to come, they're going to speak to me, and I'm going to say we need to talk about it in front of council. Go ahead, come meet with us.
That's what will happen.
that's why
I had suggested to just everybody's here now, because you might have a scheduling conflict and whatever.
There's always a difference in opinion here.
Yes.
That if you don't have the technical expertise and you don't want to be part of it, just let the fire department, the fire official, and the manager hatch it out.
Right.
Because the basics is here.
Right.
Yes, the code of the committee does not wish to be involved, they don't have to be.
And any relevant questions that we have regarding the administrative code, I'm sure Judy would be more than happy to help us out. Is that correct?
Of course.
I will amend my motion to include that statement.
Okay. And that's what I've said all along. He's the expert.
Okay. We can do that. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Then we have an ordinance amending Chapter 85 of the discussion of the on-street parking rules.
Yeah, okay. Well, we just have this just for discussion tonight because there's several things, of course, that just have to go. It really has to go before the Streets Committee as well, too. But we did promise the people who were here last time from visiting home, I'm sorry, from New Westcap, that we would address the issue right away. And we were up to this point in the code book anyway, so we thought we'd at least present this for discussion.
May I speak to this?
At any time.
Okay. I did receive an email from our engineer today, which I did forward to you this afternoon. You probably haven't read it.
I did.
Unfortunately, putting a crosswalk anywhere in town where there's not an existing crosswalk opens up a huge can of worms. You have to then comply with all current ADA guidelines, which means that every corner of your crosswalk has to have the curbing replaced and replaced with a special wheelchair, right, fabric that can go on the street. His recommendation is that we change the parking on Broad Street to include a handicap parking. That would be the least expensive method of accommodating Northwest Path, because doing this crosswalk on Broad Street or anywhere else where it's not an existing crosswalk could cost upwards of $20,000 just by bringing it ADA compliance. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that the ADA is very strict. One complaint, we have a crosswalk that's not ADA compliant, and then we're looking at other issues. So
okay, so we could right away strike that last section with the crosswalks, unless we have, you know,
sort of means we come full circle to their original request.
That's the kind of handicap.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, no, they're suggesting on Broad Street, is that on the same side, or is he looking on the other side of the street?
We were looking on the other side of the street.
So the person would have to go up the hill to 57 and cross Broad Street there? And come down?
No, we were looking at
or you're going
the
down
side
or
of the
towards
street
humans.
Where the park where Northwest Gap is.
Oh, okay.
That side of the street.
You're
that's the east side. The east side
not
of Broad Street.
Not on Allegra. No.
The
we
same
have,
side is.
On Broad Street, the same side that Northwest Gap is on. The problem with parking and putting any kind of parking on Allegra, especially handicap parking, is that if you go and take a look at Allegra where we discussed putting parking in handicaps, you open the door, you're on somebody else's property. Mm-hmm. There's no sidewalk, there's no curb. So if you have a handicap parking spot there and you're taking someone out of the vehicle and they fall on a homeowner's property, that homeowner is liable.
Right, right.
So he's not in favor of adding parking on Allegra or handicap parking.
Okay. Who's not? The engineer?
Our engineer.
I never thought of that.
Well, we also were addressing the lack of
the.
That's
why we did the site visit.
Part of that, it wasn't just for the benefit of the people at Norris Cap with the handicap space. It also was to benefit the businesses in that area.
Correct.
Because now there's seven new businesses in the
you
last
have that
6 months.
Issue with if you.
So that's why we're adding those
parking
spaces
space almost in.
On Allegra Street.
In someone's property, you would have to have it surveyed and find out where does their property line end and where. Where does the borough line begin?
The right-of-way.
It's on the curb.
No, the
there
right
is
way.
No
have,
curb.
There's the right-of-way so far out. You measure the street.
Right.
Then you take the center of the street and you go so far in off the curb as a right-of-way.
Right. If there was
right-of-way.
A curb. There is no curb. The person or the people who live on
there.
That side of Allegra, their lawn goes
their
right
lawn goes
to the street.
The street.
Exactly.
But I'm just saying you have
to. But that's because there's no curb there.
Well, that's correct. There's no curb and there's no sidewalk.
Right. So what is the recommended solution now?
The recommended solution is their initial request, which was to put a handicapped spot on Broad Street.
The only parking spot that's on Broad Street.
If you did that, you would take away one of the few spaces. There's only one space right now on the east side of Broad Street. There's only four before the parking lot. Legal spaces right now on the west side of Broad Street. So
But you might be adding it to.
We discussed this at the original meeting, which was that there's two handicapped spaces in the beginning of the free lot, which is on Broad Street on the west side. So.
There are, but the problem with that is that they are.
There's no crosswalk.
There's no crosswalk. So you're, and really, you're even putting the borough at a liability by having those handicapped spaces there. Because you're saying it's okay for handicaps to park and cross the street.
No, I'm not. I'm in favor of having a crosswalk.
But we have no crosswalk.
Right.
So in essence, you're saying it's okay to park there.
But you gotta spend money to get that crosswalk in.
Well, sometimes you have to spend money to do things. I mean, you know, I don't know, where'd you get that estimate?
Not in our budget at this time.
Where'd you get that estimate?
Where do they want to put the handicap?
Well, that's in front of the.
Yes, they wanted to put it on the east side, that single spot there that's in front of the.
Northwest.
Well, why not put it in front of the, you know, that's number two on the, on this list, the one that right now is the yellow line that we're looking into. If that should be, if that should be a parking spot per our ordinance, I know you're looking into it with the DOT.
Yeah.
Make that one the handicap one.
Well, that one's supposed to, that's already in our code. I was gonna take that one off anyway. Number two is the one that's in front of number 16 Broad Street, and there is, that's already a legal space. It's just not so marked.
So if it is illegal, well, Christine's looking into it with the DOT.
I just need to make sure that there is no prior agreement with the DOT as to why that space is yellowed out.
If there isn't, instead of painting it as a regular spot, make that the handicap spot.
What yellow spot?
The spot that's in front of, they used to have a no parking here at the corner sign, which was.
By the Breslin's, Tom Breslin's insurance?
No.
No. If I like that, they do, what do they do there? Like Feng Shui and what's that place?
No, it's down past it. It's where my antique store is.
It's near his store.
Fox's Liquor, down by the old Fox's Liquor.
No, it's before that.
Okay,
before that.
I understand.
Closer to the light.
It's on the east side.
Where North Carolina Furniture is, headed down the sidewalk south.
Yes, exactly.
And it's the first spot that was there. Okay.
Rob says, according to our ordinance, that should be a parking.
And he is correct, according to our.
A regular, yes.
It's in our code book now.
That's right.
It just was.
What it is?
I'm sorry?
What
ordinance?
Our previous manager had it painted yellow. And somehow the sign was taken down, but it was a parking space. My point of all this is that we're actually.
We've measured it.
The businesses are losing a spot.
I agree. That's why I want to confirm with the DOT.
You're gonna have problems.
But I'm not disagreeing with Councilman Torres that it is.
Well, I'm just saying.
155 feet, it's beyond that. It technically can be a parking spot.
Well, then you have.
So why don't we table this until that particular piece, until we, you get confirmation? And if it should be a spot, maybe we should consider making that the handicap spot.
Well, this says, from the curb, 57, this is what the ordinance says.
Yeah, 155.
155.
And they measured it.
And we measured it.
We've measured it. I've been out there, and our DPW measure, it is beyond 155 feet.
The yellow curbing.
Yes.
Yes.
Code book says.
Right. So that always was a space. And, of course, that's a big problem, you know, for any of the businesses. Not only my business, but there's seven new businesses on that section of Broad Street down.
But I'm not sure if there's other council members or someone who knows whether or not there's a previous DOT agreement. I can't figure out why it's yellow.
It was the manager painted it yellow. Phelan, Mr. Phelan, our previous manager, had it painted yellow.
Before that.
It was painted before that.
Before that.
I think the reason why they took that out of the, why they moved that parking space is because going up Broad Street and coming down Belvedere Avenue at one time was only one lane.
Mm-hmm.
We had to get DOT permission to put a turning lane on both sides.
What year was that?
It had to be in the 80s because.
Early 80s.
It had to be in the 80s.
Okay.
So, I don't know if that has anything to do with it, because I know you can't park on coming down Belvedere Avenue until you're past the bank.
Yep.
Yeah. That's 210 feet or something, according to that code, right, whatever it says.
I don't know if that's 200. I don't know what.
Well, it's right in that.
But anyway, before they had to do that, it's just like when we moved the line back, we had to get DOT permission to do that. So the fire truck is there.
What's the date of that ordinance that you just read right there? It should say amended. What time? When?
Let's see.
Right.
9/14/82.
Okay, so in 1982, that's when they did it. So that's why they made it a parking space, because it was already measured to make it a left-hand turn lane in front of that.
My suggestion is this. Go back and see if there's any DOT requirement from whenever that was changed. We've got to find out when that was changed to a turning lane.
That's what she's working on.
Right. Yeah. And okay. We're doing the research right now.
She's already working on it.
Right.
Okay. And then we make a decision on it when we get it back.
Right.
Okay, so I also would recommend that, you know, the committee would look at the rest of this, because we at this point, we included things that weren't previously in that we had thought as a committee, and in discussion with Rudy Bashir, who drives the fire truck, the air truck.
And as
the code enforcement officer, that certain things probably are missing that shouldn't be here and things need to be updated. One of those things was trailers. There's trailers parked all over town, on the street.
Now that we don't have parking.
Right.
You know,
and
that
so,
you can park all the time.
Right. And they're parking overnight. It's just, again, something that needs to be addressed. So we put in definitions of different types of trailers and suggestions as to what should be prohibited and excluded. So that would cover that. And then also, there's changes that we recommend be done in terms of parking on both sides of one street or certain streets to change. So we really, want the streets committee to look at that and then come back to us with a report, because, you know, we already met with Mr. Bashir on that.
So you're making a motion then?
I got a question.
Yes.
To send this committee?
To the streets committee, yes.
I got a question.
Yeah.
How are you going to enforce that on 57 when tracking trailers park almost 8-9 hours overnight on Washington Avenue?
Well, we're suggesting that they don't do that.
Well, they do.
State highway.
I don't know if you can test anything on state highway.
No. Well, on the state highway,
down Washington Avenue.
But on the borough side streets, that, you know, that's
on
something
the
different. Because
well, the streets committee can deal with
right.
that aspect.
Okay. There's, yeah, absolutely. And there's quite a number of instances where it's not on either Route 57 or Route 31.
Did we get a second on the motion?
Or even on the truck designated routes. There's a lot of tractor trailers parked in town on side streets overnight.
Okay, Mr. Torres made a motion to send it to the streets.
I'll second it.
Okay. Ethel, you had something you wanted to add?
No, I was going to second it.
Okay.
are you on the streets committee too?
I guess.
Oh, and
okay,
all the suggestions on here.
Yeah.
If it was just him, it just
right.
didn't seem right to send it to the streets committee.
Okay. All right, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, brings us to our reports.
Any motion to receive and file?
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion on any of the reports? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Committee reports. Sewer committee?
Okay. It was a fun one.
Okay.
We met last Tuesday, the 24th. Councilman Thompson.
Yes, sir.
The engineer and sewer engineer and Kevin Schaup from Veolia Water were present, along with members of the community, specifically Gardner's Court. Some of the things that we talked about a lot of things. I highlighted about 8 or 9 things, and I'll just go over them real quick. The engineer is scheduling sometime within the next week and a half their engineer to go down, not their engineer, their surveyor, to go down there and shoot the grade from one point to the next, from one corner to the other corner. He explained it on the drawings. If the pitch is not right, his recommendation is replacement of those pipes to the collection system, to include the one on Gardner's Court that backs up to the house where the swimming pool was. Okay. Can I mention the name of the person?
I wouldn't, but I think we all know what
okay.
you're talking
yeah.
about.
Okay, all right. So...
How sure, Dave, is he that that's going to fix the problem permanently instead of all these temporary fixes?
This is not a temporary fix.
And this
would be a permanent fix. It would be digging up the pipes that are already there, placing new pipes in mm-hmm. at the right grade.
Perfect.
So he has to, and it would take care of the situation based on the pitch.
Right.
They talked about how that affects the stream in that area, how that affects the collection system also, because that stream runs over the siphon area. We talked about it's kind of hard. I have been down there to see what they were talking about. I've seen it's a mess. What happens is that tank fills up, the water then comes over the bank, and whatever is in that tank that comes out between, get a visual on this, the creek comes along and takes away and goes in the creek. The engineer said anytime that happens, that should be reported to DEP. So it is a problem that coexists.
Like this.
Okay. We also talked about the drainage at the Bryden building. They have what's called like a dry well. They put in a storm grate, but it goes nowhere. So when that fills up, it overflows and goes down. It's supposed to be some kind of like a holding tank.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the corner of the parking lot. I have seen it. I've been there. It looks like a storm. You go there, it's a storm grate.
It's an actual tank. It's not just the depression in the land.
Yeah. No, it's an actual, there's actually a grate, a storm grate there where the water flows down and goes in there. The problem
who,
is...
Who put it
do
in?
Do they clean it out?
Well, they
no, they don't clean it out. And what happens is the water rises and comes right back out of it again and overflows the banks.
And goes down there.
And goes into Gardner's Court. And that doesn't help the situation with flooding either. We do have an E1 pump down there in somebody's house right now that failed during the last storm. So raw sewage backed into their house. Kevin Schout went to check out the reason why that failed, and his summation was because the power was off. I mean, he made a report. I don't know if you guys got a report that the power was off, and that's why some of the problem happened down there while it was backed up, because the pump wasn't, or the alarm didn't work. Okay, well, the reason why the check valve, according to Kevin, is because it didn't work to keep it out of the house was because the power was off. If the power was on, it wouldn't have gone into the house.
Mm.
So that's still okay. Let's see here. We did talk about how that happened, how the alarm didn't go off, and how it was the power was turned off. They don't know, but now there's a lock on the box that turns the power off. We talked about where the alarm goes from here, from South Prospect Street, to the alarm through the phone system actually goes to Atlanta, Georgia. From Atlanta, Georgia.
Doesn't go local.
From Atlanta, Georgia, it comes back up to Veolia here. They're looking into how they can correct that. Okay, we also talked about the repair to the sidewalks that was done during, the damage to the sidewalks that was done during the previous installation of these pipes. Now, we also thought, somebody was told that we had money set aside to fix this problem when it first happened, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 years ago. I'm still working on where they got that information from. If there was money set aside, I don't know if it was for that particular incident. I can't find anything going through the
how many years ago?
That thing was
12.
Put in
8 to 12.
What's the address?
It was put in 2005.
Yeah.
And supposedly in 2005 it was determined that was the wrong pitch, and the council this is what was put out to somebody who attended that meeting, and that
yeah,
was
is that, 88. Is that actually considered South Prospect or Gardner's Court or what?
That's South Prospect.
Okay.
To fix this.
Okay.
And I can't find it yet.
All right.
Now, here's the good news. Here's the good news.
2005.
Right.
The good news is this. If we have to replace that stuff, those pipes, from one corner, come down Marble over to Gardner's Court, past Gardner's Court, and then there's probably, I don't know, 15, 20 feet, and I don't guess, but it goes up Gardner's Court a little bit. to the siphon, if we were to replace all that pipe, the engineer estimated we have enough money put away right now to do all that work.
To fix that problem.
To fix that problem.
From the sewer surplus or what?
No, we put away $60,000 last year. We put away $60,000 this year for a pumping station there, you remember?
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
So we have $120,000 put away. He estimated it to be at $100,000, including the design.
But what about the pumping station?
You won't need a pumping station.
Replacing the pipe is going to fix the problem. Yes. That's all you have to do.
Yes. And then before he would be there to oversee the project, and the laterals from the houses that are now laterals go at 10 and 2, he said. So they come in at the top. Mm-hmm. So, and right now, we're at the bottom. We're at 5 and 4, or 4 and 7, or something like that. Yeah. So the pipes come out, and when the flow increases, it backs up.
This is an entirely different answer than the other engineer.
This is the first guy that actually said there is a problem there.
Right.
And it sounds like this is a permanent fix,
which is good.
This is a fix.
Well, we can do that.
Now, this right here, for the pipe, to run the pipe, to do the design of that, he said would be about $100,000. You throw in a 20% contingency. You're looking at $120,000. And guess what?
How about this?
We have $120,000.
Well, what about the sidewalk?
That includes everything.
Replacing
it. With the exception of...
And no cost to the homeowners.
With the exception of the street.
The what?
The stream.
Oh, the erosion.
The black rock.
The rocks or whatever.
Yes, it doesn't include that.
Or that, the street.
So that would have to be something else. Yeah. But that contributes to the issue with the sewage drainage problem. And the reason why he said that it's wrong is because when they cameraed it, that one pipe is actually like this, because there's water in the pipe and there's none on either end. Mm-hmm. So the pipe,
it's like a V. Yeah, it just collects.
And it would take care of some of the infiltration that's there also. Now, what does he want from us? He said it would be about $10,000 to do the design, if that's the issue. The pipes.
Yes,
if the grade is wrong, pardon me?
If
that is the issue. But he did say that one pipe definitely has to be replaced because of the city water in it. So it would be about $10,000 to design, it'd be about $90,000 to do, and then 20% contingency, we have the money there. Can we use sewer money for the creek? Because that is a contributing problem.
I don't have an answer for that.
Okay.
Would we have to go out to bid for that?
What, for... No.
For the construction.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we would. I'm sorry. Yes, you're absolutely right. And he would be the... He would manage it. He would...
Oversee.
Make sure that everything was right.
Does he say that these two projects have to be done in conjunction?
Yes.
Do you feel that by addressing this portion of the creek that you'll then be taking the responsibility on for the entire creek?
No, and here's the issue why. I actually went down there. The creek comes out of off of South Wandling Avenue. It comes through the whatever the bridge is there. It comes out of there at a higher rate of speed than it's come from before because of the water coming from
the hill.
Starting all the way over by Ingersoll Rand, by Jade Acquisition property there. Comes across the street, goes into the creek there, flows down, goes under the railroad culvert, comes down, goes across the new bridge with that on 31, mm-hmm. And as it gets to that South Wandling, and everything actually gets the width.
Thank you.
And when it comes out of that, what it does is shoots straight, but there's actually a corner.
A bend there.
There's a bend when that comes out that instead of actually following the flow of the stream, it's going into the bank because of the rate of speed that it's coming out when it rains.
And
the volume of water, there's more volume, so it comes out. So what he wants to do is he wants to contact the DEP to see if we can take that bend out of the stream so that when it comes out of the underpass there from South Wandling, that it goes straight. And he seems to think that you put riprap around there, that's the rocks in the cage, and changing the flow of the stream, that would take care of the problem. And he said our DPW can do that.
Even in heavy rains when it floods?
Yeah, even in heavy rains, because you're actually redirecting the stream. When it comes out of there, it's already eroded because of the force that it's coming out with. It's like, you got to go this way, but the force is coming this way. So, I mean, it is coming, but it's eroding everything. It's making a wider turn.
So we'll need an estimate for this in next year's budget.
Mm-hmm. Say what now?
The erosion work.
What about it?
Next year's budget.
What about it?
An estimate.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's not in this year's budget to do that erosion part. We have the $120,000 for the pipe part.
Right.
But we don't have the money in 2013
for the
stream and putting there.
Not that the weather would be conducive to doing it now anyway, but...
Assuming we didn't use that 20% contingency, maybe.
Thank you. And he would have... All he wants is the permits from DEP. He wants permission to get the permitting from DEP to try and do that. And then he would have our road department do it.
You need a motion for that?
Okay,
I'll make a motion for that.
We need a motion to have him hooked into the permits. Because they're going to cost.
Yeah.
He's got to look into what the
permit
costs.
But I also need to confirm that we can pay for that out of the sewer.
I think we can because it is related to.
No, I agree, but I want to confirm that.
Yeah, it's in the budget.
So the motion is to have him look into the price of the permits and have the manager... For stream redirection and have the manager confirm that the money is available in sewer.
Right, to do that. And he will have a report to us once he gets the survey company out there.
So now, do you need a motion?
DEP is a long process. Is he actually asking us to start the application now?
I think we've got to know how much it's going to cost
to
do the application.
And then as soon as that, then we can do it next meeting. Well.
Now, do you need a motion for the $10,000 design? Not yet.
Not permits, right?
No, that's the design is for the pipes.
Switching out
the pipes. And we won't know that, how much he's got to replace, until he actually shoots the grate.
Until he does.
We need the information.
Laser grate.
So we need more information on that.
Right.
Okay.
He did say it would be less than...
So we just have the motion then.
Okay, so you made the motion, Rob.
That's right.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Is there any other discussion?
And that motion was for what?
That motion was to have the permits and to have the manager confirm the dollar or that the funds are there
from the
sewer.
Not to get the permits, but
no.
to find out the cost.
Yes.
I'm sorry, did I not say that?
You did say that.
You said the other way.
I'm sorry.
Well, yeah.
I knew what I meant. All right. Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Torres?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Conway?
Yes.
Anything else from the sewer committee?
No.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Code book committee.
Okay. We just had the discussion, further discussion of the nuisance ordinance, which we had started, a couple times.
Coming up under old business.
Oh, okay. So yeah, we can do that. I mean, I already got a partial estimate from.
Okay, so everything you have goes right into the nuisance ordinance.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so we'll go right to the nuisance.
Right. And actually, I don't know if Judy, the last I heard, you had questions for Rick Moniz, and I don't know if you had an opportunity to talk to him about this.
I did just today. Got a response from him, and he was satisfied with the way that it is presented in the. Current version of the ordinance.
All right. So then that...
Just got that this afternoon.
All right. So then the floor is open for other discussion on nuisance ordinance.
Yeah, I had a lot of things.
Right.
Sorry.
Well, you did.
Not a lot of things.
A few things.
Does everyone have it with them?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wait a minute.
Okay. If you go to page 6, and it's only because I keep going back, I'm telling you, I must have 6 copies of the draft of this nuisance ordinance and all of Judy's notes. On page 6 for the Jake breaking, there was a section that Judy said was subjective and maybe open to challenge, and it still reads that way. So should it be reworded so
six.
That
oh.
under Jake breaking, the very last sentence.
It's the definition.
Under the definition.
Isn't that just inherent in the Jake breaking?
Yeah,
ordinance?
That was really my... The
right.
origin of my comment, that type of ordinance, while I recognize that it has been passed by a number of municipalities as a nuisance ordinance, is potentially subject to a challenge.
Okay.
So that really was the...
But they all are, and as we said earlier, in the noise discussion, any noise ordinance has a two-choice option. You can either go with the noise ordinance like we're proposing here, or else, a nuisance ordinance, or if you actually have it as a noise ordinance, you have to get tests for decibels and all that, and it's very complicated, and it's this is definitely the best way to go, and it stands up best in court, am I correct? Out of those two options.
I'm not sure I could say
Okay. Unfair question, I'm sorry.
But it's more difficult to enforce if you have the decibel level reading.
Okay, I'll move on. Then page 11, under 8, for lawn and landscaping, where it says ground covers, you once again said that was subjective and maybe up to challenge.
Okay.
Should we take that out?
11.
Page 11, ground covers. Because I kind of agree.
What number is that?
Number 8 on page 11, ground, which mentions ground covers.
Lawn and landscaping.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I was looking for...
Just as a standard of maintenance?
Again, it's up to council.
Right.
I say remove that ground covers, those words.
Well, yes. The trees after the shade trees, if they're diseased, they remove them, right?
If they're within the right-of-way.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. But in the back, it's up to the homeowner.
Right.
In the front, backyards or...
Yeah, just outside of the right-of-way.
If we don't think that it's a nuisance, we could take it out. I mean, that's just a subject, our subjective opinion. Mm-hmm.
What is your suggestion, Janine?
Just take the words out, ground cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be fine. I would agree with that. We could do that.
All right.
Okay.
And, page 14, D. Judy, you had said that whole thing with the last known address. You said there's a problem with having last. This one's okay now because we have certified and regular mail.
It's regular service. Standard.
It is better that way. There is Supreme Court law that says if you don't have service, even with certified and regular, while there is a presumption, and what are we under here? This is way back up. What section are we under? We're dealing with
the enforcement procedure.
Okay.
Because it's in multiple parts of the
standards. Right. You may have to take some extra diligence to attempt to see if you can follow up.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest... I think you can have the ordinance with certified and regular and go the way that it is. If it got to the point with a particular property, I would suggest that we have an internal policy that if we don't have any proof of service, we take a look and see if we need to just do a little extra search to see if we can locate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. Page 17. The abatement of unfit buildings. I am totally in favor of having this sort of part of the nuisance ordinance. I'm just concerned about the cost to the borough by having this. By having this in here, is it, like under legislative findings, are we open to not do anything, or are we obligated that we have to do it, and then we're...
It says may exercise.
May.
Okay.
Yeah, may. All right. Definitely.
I just want to make sure that we're not putting ourselves on the hook.
No, that's an option.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Page 27, we're good. Rick Mona said that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. I looked at this before I got...
Okay. 27.
Yeah.
He was supposed to review a section, and he did review it, and he said keep it exactly as it is. On page 33, most of this section, you had struck out, Judy, in the original, or in one of your versions.
Only it's
and now it's back in.
The service of notice, because that's basically this what we just reviewed. It basically covers the same thing. How the enforcement officer gets in touch with these people to follow up, so that...
I know, so this should be the same as the other one, then?
Yeah, so we could delete it from this part, and it still would be covered under the other, because...
I don't know, that's why I'm...
It's actually, under the administrative, what was the last page number you were on before that, where you discussed...
14?
Yeah, maybe.
No, 17, wasn't it?
No, it was, you're right, 14.
14.
It was 14.
14.
Yeah, so wouldn't this pertain to the same type of service?
No, I think you're under a different section of the ordinance.
Well, it's a different section, so...
Yeah, it is.
Should the enforcement procedure from page 14 be...
Can you use it in both places?
Well, I believe this one came from, this is under the unfit building section, correct? This is basically out of the state statute.
Yes, oh.
So I would keep it the way that it is.
Well, you were the one that struck it out, see on this one? You struck the whole thing out, and that's why I'm questioning it, now it's back in.
Oh, well, this says this is an unfit building, wait a second, I've got to get straight on what section I'm on here. Where does this section start?
11, it's just title 11, so it would be long-term vacant buildings in central business district, and then...
Oh, okay, it's at the bottom of the state, that's why I missed it.
So it'd be, yeah, 11-5.
Okay, I misspoke, Janine. It isn't unfit buildings, it's long-term vacant buildings, so it is slightly different. You could make it the same if you want to just copy the one from the other. I thought it was essentially the same, though, what were the differences that you...
I don't know, again, I just go by what you had originally told us, and you...
Okay, no, I went through each section on the notice and changed it to indicate that it would be regular and certified mail simultaneously sent.
So this one's fine.
So I think it's okay, because I did go through and confirm that that was the kind of notice that was required in each section.
All right, page 43, it's just 59-17, severability, that title, that needs to be deleted, and then everything below...
Oh, that was an oversight, you're absolutely right.
Everything below needs to be renumbered. Then, on the same, very bottom, where it says unhealthy or physically offensive condition, should we reword that? You say that's vague, and I don't like the wording myself.
I think you could just say hazardous or unhealthy condition.
Okay.
So we can stop it then, put a period after unhealthy, or unhealthy condition, okay.
Almost done, just got two more things. Under, just page 45, well, okay, that's different, that with graffiti, I'm just going to say, it's difficult, I believe in a nuisance ordinance, I believe in a lot of the sections, but there are two sections that I don't agree with, and I don't want to have to vote no on the whole ordinance. I'm just going to tell council...
I agree with you.
I'm just going to tell council the two things that I'm not in favor of, and I don't know how typically you work with that. For the graffiti, I kind of have a problem putting the money on, making the owner responsible for it.
The owner can go after the person who done it then.
But if you don't know who did it...
You don't know who did it.
And then, the other thing too is, and I don't know if it was always in the litter ordinance, I didn't have a chance to go back and look, but under the litter ordinance on page 50, I'm kind of against the stuff that's on the private property, you know what I mean? Given the definition of litter now, for example, some person might use their grass clippings as like compost, but that could be, in our definition, that would be litter. So like, 59-20.7, I'm against, and then...
Well, it's the same with leaves, a lot of people use the leaves too.
So anything. It's not specific there because it's just the word litter. So my point is I'm against some of the litter aspects. And
litter, don't we have a definition in the beginning?
It's a huge definition. Basically all encompassed. Some people might store things, and they might have it in their backyard. It's not in containers, and then Rudy could give them a fine for littering.
You agree with the rest of the idea of
obviously,
maybe it's a good idea to examine the definition again, and if you want to remove grass clippings and things like this, but if somebody lets...
No, I'm not in favor of the private property stuff.
Okay, so in other words, you're not in favor of any owner to maintain their premises at all.
Because all over town,
there's graffiti, and all over town, there's litter on people's property. And if the people don't know to have common sense enough to go out and pick up the garbage off their...
But that's different. That's garbage.
Litter. Somebody maybe threw it out of some car window or something.
And there are kids that throw litter on my property.
So you're going to find
them for it? So you're going to fine me for
some... No, I don't want to fine you.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. So then maybe we should just have it that the owners... to maintain it without any penalty.
We could eliminate the penalty for that.
But it's good to have in an ordinance because it does maintain order.
What about town property like the public library? The kids throw litter out there all day long. And they spray paint.
Well, we got to put an end to it. We don't want to live like this, do we? You're okay with the graffiti all over town?
Who's going to clean it there?
It's throughout the whole business district now. It looks horrible.
And I agree. We have to do something about graffiti, but I don't...
So maybe we can remove just the penalty part for the owners or re-examine that. And that would be good.
I think we need to eliminate
the whole thing is not good.
Council needs to agree on that B. I'm just stating my...
There's a whole lot I got to say about this too. Personally, I believe that this is a property maintenance code that was not taken care of years ago. That's being snuck in here under a nuisance ordinance, and we had a lot of problems with that when they first tried to do it. Mm-hmm. I think that it invades on the privacy of a lot of private individuals. That's my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. If we were to vote on it tonight, I would vote no. Listen on. On one of these pages here, page 11, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Line 9. Why is that sentence in there? Nuisances as defined in this section. What section? You see number 9?
Yeah.
What does that pertain to?
That's all the nuisances that are in here. This whole...
But does that go 1 through 8? And then it starts another one, 10 through 10 and 11?
Okay, a lot of this was copied from, state minimum standards. So if it's in the state code, I copied the whole state code verbatim, whatever. So whatever it was, if that's the way it's worded, then that's the way it's worded. So we could eliminate number 9 because it's redundant. So, let's just take that out, number 9.
Should number 9 be number 1 and everything else be renumbered?
You can do it that way too. Whatever.
You're saying nuisances are defined in this section.
Right.
You go through 8 of them, and then you got 2 more. I'm just saying, that's just a type of grass plot thing.
What was the property maintenance thing that you? What?
Many years ago, we tried to do a property maintenance ordinance, which would it essentially told people how to upkeep their property. A lot of discussion on it. Amongst council. When it came time to introduce the ordinance, this room was packed and they were out into the hallway against it.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 2 hours of testimony on that day.
2 hours, I think. I wasn't on the council, but I was standing down the hallway because you couldn't get in here.
Yeah. We had a lot of testimony on it, and I don't think there was one positive comment made from the public.
All right, page 16, 59.945, should the owner or tenant, and this is removal by borough cost and lien. Why would the tenant have to pay if it is the property owner's responsibility? Mm-hmm. That's the question.
It should be.
I think the answer would be if they are obligated to undertake those duties under their lease.
well, then that needs to be spelled out in it, I would think. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, I would have to say that. Okay, 5911.2, page 26. Minimum standard for basic equipment and for any unoccupied or vacant building.
What page, Dave?
26.
Okay.
Who determines, how are we going to know as the borough if the plumbing's in good working order, the electricity, the heating plant, the cooking equipment, fire, you know, safety from fire? Who determines that?
That would be
because we don't have an electrical inspector, we don't have a plumbing inspector. Mm-hmm.
That's if the manager chooses to call someone in to do this, 26. then it, you know, it can be checked. But otherwise, at least it gives the building owners notice.
I do not want you in my house if it's more
than a house. We're talking about this is under buildings, Dave.
Yeah, long-term vacant buildings in the central business district.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want the government in my property.
Right.
If I lock my building,
Dave, I think what some of this is, if you're in a building, let's say building A comes up with a plumbing leak, and it affects building B, and then it gives the right.
I understand exactly what you're saying, but this right here, the way this is written, it says you will do this. And how are you going to find out unless you have access to my property, whether or not
they're in good repair, kind of thing.
My furnace is turned on and in working condition.
Because what happens is,
maybe my furnace is turned off because it doesn't work, and I don't have the money to get it fixed, but I have winterized my pipes. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think this has to be clearly defined as to a dilapidated building, not an unoccupied building.
No, this isn't. You're talking about two different things.
Okay.
Okay. This is for under long-term vacant buildings in the central business district. Okay. And the idea behind this is to have them registered.
There's no government involved in my life.
Okay. I understand that. Right. Okay. But this is a solution that many other municipalities use to address the problem of these downtown decrepit buildings without having to go the other methods, which, you know, are for, you know, abandoned buildings and what to do after that. So
you got other buildings that are not downtown or dilapidated and they're not being occupied.
Okay, well then they wouldn't have to purchase this permit. This is only for a permit, and then once they get the permit, this particular way that this would work would be, this then would allow our inspector to go in and check those buildings to make sure, because they are vacant, to make sure that they're up to health code standards and up to the standards that we're putting down here. So that's not an infringement. That's a safety issue.
Yeah, but somebody else is going to take it the wrong way.
Well, they can discuss it.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
So what do you think the best thing, like, going forward? Put this up again and on every section, vote on each section? Because that's the problem with putting it all under the one ordinance.
Absolutely.
Can we do that too?
We would have to undo what we already put together. We could break it out, but I mean,
into individual ordinances.
But that,
if we already know what the changes are, that's what this discussion is about.
That would increase the cost, though, breaking it out like that.
Right.
In terms of publication and then,
sure. And because it was, and all this work is done, there's basically only about five things, it seems, that need to be addressed. We could just review this again in committee and then come up with the corrected language and address these issues that you had pointed out and you had pointed out.
But, I mean, the problem is, it's difficult, and we've had this problem before with some of these ordinances. It's just a two-member committee, and the two members don't always see eye to eye.
We're open for any other volunteers.
You know, and I had asked this of council about 2 years ago. What do you want us to do in that case when we have an ordinance when the committee's not in agreement? And council says, bring it to council, and council will decide what to do. So, and I said this about 3 months ago when we first brought this nuisance ordinance. Please read it carefully, because I don't agree with everything in it.
And you point that out. And so,
and,
of course,
so that's where
some of these things
we're at.
Certainly will change. Absolutely. Good. because all this is...
So bringing it back to the code book again, similar to the fire one, you know, I had no problem, Rick was the expert, I felt all along.
Well, I think bringing it back to the committee is just to make the changes that were spoken about.
But we don't know what changes to make.
We just went over them.
I want to totally eliminate them.
What do you want to totally eliminate?
Some of the aspects of the littering, of the graffiti, and Dave doesn't even want the long-term vacant buildings in the central business district in there.
But that's the one way that we can address the problems in a central business district. I mean, I don't think that everybody on the committee is going to vote to take that section out.
It's only the two of us.
No, I'm talking about the council. Sorry.
Yeah, but you have other vacant buildings there, Rob.
What?
You have other vacant buildings that are not in the business district. You got four or five up here on Belvoir Avenue that are vacant.
Sure, no, I understand that. But this is not addressing those.
Turbo Alley?
Rick, this is not addressing those at all. This is only trying to help the central business district problem that we have.
Let me ask you a question, Counselor. Can you enforce the law in one area of town and not the other?
If you have...
Sure, they call it zoning.
If you have reasonable and not arbitrary reasons for taking action in a certain area, yes.
And the arbitrary action would be because that's downtown?
Well, no, I think that if your reasoning was because there was a special concern of the borough because of specific problems in a particular district that needed to be addressed that were more so than in other parts of town, I think that it would be likely that you could address it in that fashion.
Similar to designating a neighborhood as an area in need of redevelopment or something like that.
Correct.
They do this in Philadelphia. They do this in a lot of cities where they have a big problem with the buildings downtown. And this is an alternate solution. It just makes those buildings more susceptible for inspections, and they're more regularly inspected, as well as it's more costly to those business owners, so that in our case especially, it would apply that the end result would be they would be actually paying more money, so they would maybe not want to...
Hopefully
retain it better and not, you know, use the building as a tax shelter and just ignore their maintenance of their building for years, which has gone on in this town for too long.
What about Lake Vantara? That's empty. That's abandoned. And you have people staying in there.
Where?
Lake Vantara.
Lake Vantara.
You got Turbine Alley. It's a hazardous place. What are you going to do about that? That's been vacant for how many years, Dave?
But if we don't have a nuisance ordinance to deal with this, this is the proper way to do it.
Judy, do you have any other experiences like this long term? Because I understand where Rob is coming from, that we have a problem in our downtown essential with some of these vacant buildings. And do you know of other ways to address it? Because right now we don't have anything to address some of these vacant buildings.
I mean, other than adopting some sort of code to be enforced, no.
But do you know of any other codes besides this one that Rob found?
What was referred to as the blockbuster law, what was brought up earlier, that's not the official name, which I gave you a report on after that. You know, there are some ways that you can use that type of state legislation to come up with it. The problem is it results in costs to the borough.
Right. And this is actually going to generate income for the borough, which is another benefit.
But we should
that
be helping our businesses, not finding our businesses.
This is not about our businesses. This is about the business, the building.
Let me go to page 28. All windows within 20 feet of the ground, or which may be readily accessible, shall be secured with security screens, bars, and or grills.
Mm-mm.
What's that going to do to the look of downtown?
Not
and does that go against the redevelopment ordinance?
Okay, when I put this together, as I said, all these are not something that I'm particularly in favor of at all. I only brought these up for discussion, okay?
Okay.
So,
well,
you know, something like that, I'm not in favor of myself. And it's just that I had copied these minimum standards from the state guidelines. That's what these are. They're state guidelines. So municipalities have the choice to take some of these things or all of these things or change them completely. But the state gives you examples to use as guidelines. So that's what this is.
And that was the point of this discussion.
Yeah, that's the point of this discussion. So if we don't like something in here, we have to then remove it, and then we will...
We're going to need a whole meeting to go over everything.
Okay, well, then that's good.
Well, we have like three, that's why we...
Yeah.
Specifically for this.
Well, maybe we should do that. We can also have a special meeting. If we want to just discuss this, I think that would be appropriate here, too. And then we can eliminate a lot of this stuff that was in the general code that I just copied just to put in here as the guidelines, so that we all get on the same page with what we want for the borough for a nuisance ordinance. Okay, how about that?
That's what we're going to have to do, because if this is introduced this way, we just go...
No, nobody wants to introduce it this way. That's not going to happen. This was not something that has a number in front of it. See, this is only for discussion. So, yeah, that's good. All right. So can we schedule maybe a special meeting? Is that what people are in favor of on the council?
Yeah, I don't care.
I'm fine with that.
Is next Tuesday night a good night, or following, you know?
Next Tuesday, no.
Okay. What day is good for everybody? I'm open, doesn't matter.
I'm open all next week, but remember, the 15th is a council meeting, and the 16th is a special election.
Right.
Maybe the following Tuesday that we don't have a council meeting.
The 22nd?
Want to do it then?
Okay, we can actually do five.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to get back to you. I don't have my calendar.
Can you do that Tuesday, Dave?
Yeah.
I'll have to get back to you.
Okay.
Everyone check the calendar for October 22nd.
So we'll tentatively put it as special council meeting for the discussion of the nuisance ordinance on the 22nd.
Any special time? 6:30?
7 is good.
7 is probably best, yeah.
7:30? Did you say 7:30?
No, I said 7.
7.
How about 7:30?
All right.
On the 22nd.
Yes, Judy.
Does council want me at any such special meeting?
No.
No, I don't think that's necessary.
Just wanted to double check.
Because you're going to get it after this anyway, with all the changes, so that's, you know, don't worry, you're going to be involved.
Send you the minutes of the meeting.
I'll get the ordinance. By calendar.
Okay, so that takes care of the nuisance ordinance for the time being?
For now.
Okay, new business. Resolution 173-2013 for trick-or-treat hours.
I'll move resolution, whatever it was, 173.
Second.
Just for everyone's knowledge, it is Thursday, October 31st, from 4 p.m. till 8 p.m. Any other discussion? It also establishes a curfew, a suggested curfew.
There's going to be a curfew then?
I'm sorry?
There will be a curfew then?
A suggested curfew.
Just for that night?
Just for that night.
No, I said...
No, it's Monday, October 28th, including, up to and including Thursday, October 31st.
Yes, you will.
Mistress night and all that stuff is included?
Yes, we always extend it. We follow the township, we do the same thing.
What is that one?
17, it's a resolution.
173-2013. Any other discussion?
Sure.
What was that, Dave?
Press release.
Press release.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I abstain. I'm sorry, you abstain?
Yeah. How about if we do 174, 175, 176, and 179?
Okay. So move.
Is there a second?
I said I can.
Any discussion on any of these?
Yeah.
Roll call, please.
Higgin?
Yes.
Flora?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Conrad?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes, ma'am.
178-2013, to establish members of a green team, which would currently appoint Sandy Cerami, Christine Blanchard, Gary Pahorley, Terry Finnegan, and Suzanne Marr.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that?
What is Sustainable New Jersey?
Yes.
What?
They came and made a presentation to us before. That's the sustainable energies, building methods, and things of that nature. In order to be a member of it, which we did vote on and pass a resolution earlier this year, I believe it was, you have to have a green team. So this is fulfilling our commitment there.
Could be available funding for certain projects.
Gary came in and presented everything.
I remember that. I just want to know what the name was. Never mind.
Okay, any other discussion?
I'm going to keep my mouth shut because what I was going to say.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Vouchers.
Any motion to pay the bills?
Second.
Okay, any discussion on any of the bills?
Yes.
Mrs. Gleba.
All right, take it out because it's in here. Page 11. Put the electricity out of Recreation Trust into regular utilities. I'll make that motion.
That's what we already made that motion.
Well, it's in this month's voucher. So that's the.
Yeah, okay.
See what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hang on.
Yeah.
I don't think we need a motion to take that out.
No, okay.
We did that earlier.
That's this month's bill, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Because I believe that went until the end of the year, the previous motion.
Yes, it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Anything else?
What about these attorney fees?
Okay, hearing no other comments, roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Gleba?
Yes.
McSalva?
Yes.
Conrick?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes, everything except fire company and rescue squad. Okay.
That brings us to a recap. Mm-hmm. Deep breath. Here we go.
I know. I have a lot. I just hope I got it all. Okay. We will have an amended agreement for Washington Community Solar for the next meeting. The request from Washington Township Construction Department will be sent to the Shared Service Committee. We will schedule and hopefully find out if the vendor is available to do the lights on the outside Christmas tree on Saturday, November 30th.
The lighting on Saturday, November 30th.
Right. Well, we need to make sure you can put the lights up. And then,
beforehand.
Right, beforehand. So it's got to come out sometime in November. And we can have our lighting. Is there a specific time? Who do you want to coordinate this?
For what?
Our tree lighting.
Somebody on Hometown Holiday Committee.
Well, she just said, well, I'm
How about Rich?
I'm doing a fine job.
No.
What time?
What do you mean? No, she just said if they're going to do it in conjunction with the Hometown Holiday. I think she said 4:10 or something like that.
What time is your lighting?
The tree is supposed to be ready to go. It's like a symbolic day.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Where we just plug it in.
Right.
So what time? So 4:15 is hour.
4:15.
Okay. So it's going to be 15 minutes in between each tree.
Do we need them to plug it in, or can't we just plug it in?
No, we plug it in upstairs.
Yeah.
So we just need them to have it done.
The lights need to be on, and then we just need to plug it in.
Right.
Okay. We will remove the recreation ball field lights out of Recreation Trust for the rest of the year, put it back into our own current fund.
And last month.
We will find out the amount of the Recreation Trust fund. We'll follow up with Finelli on the DOT grant for that North Lincoln, mm-hmm. The time frame on when those grant announcements will be made. I'll meet with the fire chief and the fire official regarding Ordinance 6-2013.
Okay, well, on that topic, because I was going to say in my council remarks, because I was going to say it tonight, when you go through that ordinance, can you just check with them? It's different in multiple spots. All fines shall be payable to the Washington Borough Fire Prevention, and then in one section it says it's payable to Washington Borough. Can you just look into who's supposed to get this payment? These payments, and I would think it should be consistent throughout the.
It may be that some, by state statute, are required to go to the Bureau of Fire Prevention, and others can come to the borough, but I will clarify that. I'll continue to try and find out an answer from the DOT regarding the parking spot on Broad Street.
We'll do a press release for trick or treat. We'll schedule a special meeting for October 22nd for the nuisance ordinance. We will find out the cost of the permit for the redirection of the stream at North Lincoln, Gardner's Court.
It's Gardner's Court, South Prospect.
South Prospect, that's it. That's all I have, in case I missed anything. Feel free, tell me. Natasha and I will have it done for the next meeting. Yeah, she was at a conference last week. Yep, we will do it. Yes.
That brings us to council remarks. Mrs. Gleba.
Nothing.
Mr. Torres.
Nothing tonight.
Mrs. Pottery.
Nothing.
Mr. Higgins.
Had a great vacation.
Sorry about the phone call.
Mrs. Thompson.
One thing, want to wish the ladies auxiliary a happy anniversary. She's her 80th anniversary, kicks off next Tuesday. So, congratulations on the year.
Congratulations.
Again.
And I have one thing. On the 16th, some representatives from Franklin Township, Washington Borough, and Washington Township are going to meet about the shared service we have with the paving equipment. That expires this year, and we're going to discuss whether we want to continue on with it. If not, how do we dispose of the equipment that we have at the moment and things of that nature. I've asked one of our DPW guys to go down with us so they can just take a look at the equipment, and we're just going to discuss what our options are. If council has any thoughts on it that they would like to pass on to me beforehand, please do so. Mr. Higgins, you look like you're chomping at the bit.
Yeah, I just remembered something. Are we going to go out for professional RFPs or requests for...
Yes.
Well, that's on exec, if we want to have a quick exec.
Okay.
Well, we need to discuss police.
Okay. Well, pertaining to what you're saying, too, I'm thinking of two things at the same time. Who has the equipment right now?
Franklin Township.
Let's get it here, and then let's decide.
But we can't get it here because Franklin or Washington Township has frozen the...
Brakes.
Trailer on the brakes. That is the problem that we've had with this agreement all along.
One of the things I was thinking of discussing with them was with the borough becoming the lead agency on it, should, you know, we want to do that, and then the equipment can be stored in our garage.
The borough is the lead agency.
We are.
Yeah.
I thought Franklin was.
No, we are the lead agency. The equipment, from what I understand, is supposed to come back to the borough at the end of this term. I have to pull it and read it again. But that's my understanding.
They borrowed it, two jobs, and never got back.
Exactly. And we...
That's what...
It's something that I don't know that previous administrators or managers have known, mm-hmm. but really the agreement reads that if there is something wrong with it, if the bill is supposed to be split three ways.
Right.
Last year I did start billing Franklin and Washington Township.
Did they pay it? Yes or no?
Mm-mm. So we're half and half. Sometimes,
okay.
Sometimes no. But we are the lead agency, and it is supposed to be stored here, and we get it back in disrepair every time.
Okay, Franklin was the lead agency when it started, was it not?
No, we have always been the lead agency.
Yeah.
Maybe we
should reexamine that in the Shared Service Committee and then see if we want to redo that contract completely.
If a member of the Shared Service Committee would like to attend, it's 6 p.m. On October 16th at the Franklin Municipal Building, and you're certainly welcome to go.
But you turn me up only once.
Yeah.
Only one other council because we're down a council member.
Right, we don't want to have a quorum.
And I can't be there because it's special election day.
Right.
So who's going? You're going?
I'm going.
Are you going to go there? Can you go?
On the 16th? That's the Wednesday, right?
That's the election day. Special election.
Sure.
What time is it?
All right.
6 p.m.
All right.
I'll go.
Okay, that's all I have. Then I guess we're going into executive session 177-2013 after a 10-minute break.
I'll make a motion.
Sound good.
Second.
And this is for